Dave, good afternoon. How are you getting on?
Not too bad at all.
Before I ask you wrong, call the wrong name again. You look very fresh. Why so? Because
I'm retired now and I'm enjoying life.
Good.
And that's the best way to be.
But you, Dave, you always retired life. You always enjoyed life, whether you were retired or not.
Incidentally, can I just point out that we're joined in the studio by Mary Councillor Mary Linehan Foley and our own Meg Carey as well. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hiya. Afternoon, Gerry and Dave.
Good afternoon.
Dave, we were just before we were rudely interrupted there, we were just coming back to the start. 1974 it was it?
1974, I started with the council. I used to come down to see my grandmother on the weekends when I was in the army. And I just happened to come down one weekend and I met Billy Ruxton.
Okay.
And I asked him to know, was any jobs going to council?
Okay.
So he told me that Desi Hallam was looking for staff.
Right.
So I went down and I met Desi Hallam below at the tourist office. That was the old building on go, like the council had. It was a workshop. And I met Desi and he asked me, was I related to Desmond's? I said, my brother's married to Colette Desmond.
Okay.
So he says, I am looking for staff. He said, when can you start? It'll be a fortnight because I'm in the army. I'll have to give notice.
Okay.
So I'm in the council since 1974, the 12th of July, 1974. I'm there ever since.
1974. And you were telling me there on the side in the office earlier, there was one story, the railway line. When there was a railway line in Yon?
Well, I used to walk in CIE when I was younger, around 18.
Right.
And I used to walk in the Permanent Way.
Okay.
And I used to be up Kilbarry, that's up where the tunnel is,
right,
in Cork, putting down railway lines at night time.
Yeah.
But you'd also have to be hitting in the pins in the railway. You'd have to walk from Cork to Yall.
Okay.
And walk down one line and walk up another line.
Okay.
So I started off there then, and I came back to Yall then, like, you know, after I'm out of the army, I started with the council, and then I had various jobs when I started in the council the first day.
But I suppose the council preceded all work you ever did in the army, did it?
I did, it was a great job. Them days, a lot of people wouldn't join the council, but today, they can't get into the council.
Right.
I think they need more staff. There was 38... in the job when I went there first. There's only less than 8 there now. And I'd say there's no one in town at the moment because they're out the country down the roads.
Okay. And so you've seen all those changes as well. If you could turn back your 44 years, is there any one thing you'd change about the whole lot?
Well, I would change is that the town, we need businesses in the town. There's a lot of businesses closed down in this town, and I think it's about time the people woke up and try and get new shops opened, get them all painted up for the tourists and that for the summer and that, and get involved in the community more better than ever before. We need employment in this town. They're all going out of the town, walking up in Middleton and Cork and that. You go to Middleton, the place is booming.
Mm-hmm.
We need shops in this town, and we need more people walking in the town.
By God, I tell you something, you're only retired since Saturday, but I can see politics down the road straight away, but
I'm not interested in politics at all.
No? Why not?
No.
Doesn't Mary need some competition?
Not at all. Mary Lynn is a good councillor.
Okay.
Thank you, Dave.
The cheque is in the post, Mary.
Thank you, Dave.
You were speaking there of businesses shut down and everything. We had a chat there the other day about out by the lighthouse. There was petrol pumps coming to shop.
There was a petrol pump there, and there was a shop, and the shop had everything in it. You didn't have to go into town for nothing.
Okay.
But the person probably died and demolished. The council bought it and they demolished it.
Okay.
And who was in the demolition? It was Mick Welch, Big Mick used to call
him.
Yeah. And he cleared it all, and like I was in the rock and the dad. Then a few years afterwards, then you had the Herbalites, and you had McMahon's, all that area there down Kent Street. I was in the knocking of all that.
God.
And I used to walk then. Desi would say to me, he said, do you want to walk a few hours every night? Because it was blocked off and wouldn't leave no one to the site. And I used to walk maybe from 5 o'clock up to 12 o'clock. Now, I never missed a day's overtime in 44 years, only if there was a strike.
Uh-huh.
And I loved keeping the town clean, meeting the people every morning, and having a chat with them. Of course, I'll miss that now. But you know, that's life.
What's the one thing that you miss from, I know it is early days yet, but since Saturday, like, do you miss the getting up in the morning early, or do you miss the routine? Or
I miss the routine, like going out every morning, doing the bags and going to the dump and that, and have a chat with the boys out in the dump and that, you know. And like, what I usually do is I get up around 6 o'clock, I go out in about 7:15.
Okay.
I check the lorry before I go out. You have to check that every day for oil and water and lights and that, and sign off, and then you go out and you do your job for the day. And I done everything the council. The council didn't have to tell me what to do. I just went away and I did it. I used to collect the Tidy Town stuff. I collect the stuff from the Cathedral Church and also from the Protestant Church. I collect stuff from there. And I collect stuff from the swimming pool. I have to collect the rubbish in there from the swimming pool as well.
I have a message in there from Leslie Cullinan Godfrey. Hi, Jerry. Please wish Dave a very happy retirement and thank him for the many, many years of service to you all. Best of luck for the future from John, Leslie, and the Godfrey, Cullinan, and Bush families. Thanks for everything.
Thanks very much.
Does that sum it up for you? Meg Carey is in the corner there. Meg, to get in.
She's been nice there to you now, Dave, because she'll probably be looking for a driver for the community bus, a volunteer.
Not interested.
No.
I know, Dave.
I'm
not interested. I'm retired now. I'm going to enjoy life.
Voluntary.
No. I appreciate it, but no.
No. Says the recruitment lady in the corner, Mary Carey. Mary, I'm sure you have some fond memories of Dave as well.
I have. I suppose going back, I actually remember Dave, when Dave was talking there now, I actually remember, because I grew up in the Market Square in Moby Dick's, like, so I actually remember vaguely the works that used to be going on with the knocking of the old slaughterhouse as well down the back by
just
the quay. And
he was involved in that.
About the Harbour Lights, and Dave was involved in everything. Like, when you talk about, I suppose, the council and y'all, Dave Cooley is the man, is the name that comes up. If you talk about, you need something, like there's rubbish dumped here or there's something here, Dave Cooley's your man. You just go into Helen and you just simply say, look, there's after being fly tipping wherever, I'll send Dave up. That's just the norm. So I suppose on my behalf as a councillor, and I'm a councillor for the last 15 years, I was a town councillor, and the last 3.5 at county level, I'll miss Dave greatly, because Dave was somebody you could always rely on. And it's not only just because he's sitting here beside me, I've said this before, but you always knew when you asked Dave to do something, or even when you didn't ask him, it was going to be done anyway. So, like, they're going to be found wanting for somebody to step into Dave's big boots, because that's not going to happen. Because the likes of the workers like Dave, they don't look at it as a job. They look at it, as he's mentioned there, it was every day. It was meeting the people. It was working for the people of y'all and the greater community. And Dave was never found wanting in anything that he was asked to do. And I know it sounds, some people say, oh yeah, it sounds like a cliche. It doesn't. That is Dave Cooley. And anybody that knows Dave Cooley knows Dave could be relied on for anything. And I'll just mention, I suppose, one of the most recent, because there's plenty I could mention about Dave all down through the years, with festivals, with tours and projects, with stuff that was going on. Dave was always there pulling up in the van and doing what he had to do without much thanks, in fairness, you know. And now is the time to thank Dave, and I'm delighted, I suppose, to be invited here this morning to say thank you to Dave Cooley. And of course Meg must be mentioned as well, because obviously when Dave wasn't at home, she was running the home for Dave to be able to do what he was able to do, and all his family, you know.
And we echo those sentiments. And,
he said there, and I was just touching on it, I suppose, was like last year with the cemetery, that's a big thing that comes to everybody's mind. When we knew what was happening out there was happening, and it needed to be done, and it needed to be cleaned up, and Pat and the rest of them needed help out there, like, straight away we set up a cemetery committee, which Meg talks about, and she can come in more on that in a minute if she wants, but this committee was just willy-nilly in the matter of a few days. We needed hands on deck, and we got all the hands on deck that we needed, and we needed Dave Cooley. Dave opened the gates for us, Dave closed the gates for us, Dave brought the van in so that us women didn't have to truck with wheelbarrows of debris and weeds and stuff like that. And Dave was there every evening that we were there, and every Saturday morning that we went in there. That was beyond the call of duty, because Dave didn't have to go in there on a Saturday morning and open them gates for us, but he did, you know. And that's only one instance, I suppose, of what Dave did over his lifetime working for the council in Youghal. But I have to come in there and say I do agree with Dave in a sense that people, I suppose, nowadays more than ever need to get involved in their own communities and need to push their own communities. You can't rely on people anymore to do the job. If you've something in your mind or you have an idea in your head about something, you can't really rely on anyone else to do it for you. If you take care of your own little patch, if you go out there and try and encourage, which I do in my job, but it's my job, encourage businesses to come into Youghal. The likes of Aldi is coming now. We'd be hoping there is a few in the pipeline going to follow with Aldi, and that will open up our quayside, our town centre again. But like the likes of Dave and men like Dave that worked in our community are long gone, Gerry, to be honest.
Megs, I'm going to come to you about the North Abbey in a few minutes, but I just want to sum up what Mary said there, Dave. I spoke with Helen Mulcahy about half an hour ago prior to coming in here, right? And I did give her the opportunity to take a call and wish her well. And she said, be honest with you, Gerry, she said, we've said our goodbyes to Dave. He was more than a work colleague, she said. He was a friend, and they looked up to you. And the words being used commonly around the streets of Youghal, it wasn't a job for you, it was the pride that you had in your locality. Would that sum it up for you?
Well, I think if you're doing a job, you must have it like in your head, like, look, I think every man should do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. That's the way I looked at it. The council has been very good to me for the last 44 years. I've never shot the bob. Like, I had great wages. Sometimes I could come out maybe 2,000 euros, but when this crash came down, of course, it was cut down, but then it started going up again. I worked 7 days a week. Never, as I said, missed a day of overtime. And I loved doing it. Okay. And the lads, I couldn't work with a better bunch of lads in all my life. Mm-hmm. Even the staff in the office are wonderful people. I had great friends in them, I hope we still have. And the way I look at it is that we have to have a bit of pride in our town. And I had pride in my town. I enjoyed it. I used to put up baskets every year for the tidy towns. And I take them down and I get rid of all the stuff. I'll miss all that now, you know.
But I suppose going forward, I suppose you need to look at it with pride, what you achieved. You know, I know you knocked a lot of places, like from what Mary was saying, knocking the slaughterhouse and knocking the garage out the road. But you also built a lot of places, and you also made a lot of places, accessible, habitable and presentable. Because any time I turn the corner, I see you there with your truck washing plants or hanging plants.
Well, and I used to go out in the evenings and water the plants, because that's the only time you could go out. You'd want to be up at 5 o'clock in the morning to water plants. You'd have Joan Egan and Davy Smith there in the summertime. They're out at 5 o'clock in the morning watering the plants, and only for them. They wouldn't even be growing. And I think Mary Callan does a beautiful job in the flowers every year.
Okay.
She's wonderful. And like, it's nice to see her town looking beautiful in the summertime. You know.
So I can sense the sense of pride in what you did for the people of Youghal, for the town of Youghal, tourists coming into Youghal. I have to take a break, and we're going to come back to Meg, and we'll discuss what you've done in the North Abbey and anything else you need to chat about. Is that okay? 1982 with Golden Days, and it won him the title of the Voice of Youghal. The final was held in the Walter Alley and was hosted by, of course, the late, great Nuge Kinnifig. Did that bring back memories, Dave?
Brings back a lot of memories.
Would you like to get back involved in the competition?
Well, I think they should bring back the Voice of Youghal again, because it was a wonderful thing for the people that they were able to get out on a Monday night and go to all these competitions. And I think by next year it should be brought back again.
In your 44 years, and there's a councillor sitting next to you, in your 44 years, the transition where they took away the local urban district councils, Did you find that made a big difference to you as a workman?
Well, I tell you, the biggest mistake the government made was splitting up the councils, because it's not working. You have men here in the town out the country today, tearing roads. There's no one in the town. Only one lad is Sean. He's sweeping the streets.
Okay.
And I think it's about time that the government woke up to the fact that they should bring back the town councils and bring back extra staff to run the town, because this is a heritage town and we need a staff in the town to run the town. You can't run the town with no staff in it.
Yeah.
And absolutely. I think it's about time that the town council were brought back.
Do you see it happening in the near future?
I do. In the next election, Micheál Martin made a statement on Garvan that he would bring back the town councils if he got into power.
Okay.
So he might get into power this time.
In your 44 years service, what was the happiest day that you went home to Meg?
God, I think the happiest day when I won the Voice of the Isle.
Okay.
Because I came out of the Walter Rally about 2 o'clock in the morning, and who was waiting for me was Mick Daly, the guard. He says, I'll drive you home. I said, why do you want to drive me home for? Because I had a bet with Ned Flynn to win the Voice of the Isle, so he gave me a spin home. It was great.
In the squad car?
Squad car, yeah.
Oh my God.
Now, Mick Daly's retired by now. I know he's not, I don't think he's in the guards anymore.
Right, okay. You know. Was there any days that you went home in the last 44 years and you said, damn, this has been easier way of making a few bob?
Well, I often got fed up with, like, doing the same thing. Like, but when you like it, it's great. You know, like when Desi said to me there one day, he said, look, he said, have you got a license for driving a truck? I have a license for driving a car. Well, give it to me. So he took it away for a few days and he gave it back to me. He says, you drive the truck from under. Jack Holman will show you the routine. And that time they had an old shopper, because you'd have to load it up and you'd have to shovel it out. So you used to go out to the dumpers open them days, and when you go out to the dump in the mornings, you'd see a load of chickens running around the place, because the place in Killer used to be throwing out the eggs, and it all, of course, it used to burn at that time, and they used to all come out with the heat. And you'd be outside and you'd be shoveling all the stuff out of the lorry, and I just said to him one day, I said, I want to get a tipper, it's way better. So he brought me up to Cork a few weeks afterwards. He said, now there's your lorry, tipper the whole lot, and I have a tipper ever since.
Custom bought for you?
Custom bought.
Well, your successor hasn't been decided yet, as we know, because it has to be advertised. I know there are big boots to fill, apart from checking the truck for oil and water and everything. What would be the advice you'd give them to get as much happiness out of the future?
Enjoy your work. Okay. And help out anyone that you can help out, especially the old people. Okay. I go out to Dyce Grove every day, and if they have a few old bags, like, they clean the place so well, it's so beautiful, I take away their bags from Maura Connolly, her sister Jo, I call her Sammy, I call her Mr. Brooks, and I call her Mary Callan every day to make sure they're all right, they don't want anything. If they want tablets, I go in and I get their tablets. I go in and I get them probably bread, milk and stuff, and I bring it back and give it to them. They just ring up the chemist and I go in and I collect it.
My God, they're not shoes to fill at all. They're ginormous boots. Speaking of services rendered outside the call of duty, I know, Megs, you want to come in about his services to the clean-up with the North Abbey.
I mean, Mary's here as well. And back last, the end of June, July, the graveyard was in a pretty sorrowful state. And we got a committee going through the auspices of Y'all Tidy Towns. And I remember the first Saturday morning we went out there was 40 people. And I can still see Dave, because Dave lives up at the top, looking over the wall. And he said to us after, Mary and myself, he actually said it to, if he could get a hold of Helen, he was going to ask Helen, could he use the van? Because he couldn't use the truck without
permission.
Without permission. So I think Mary had a chat and Dave had a chat with Helen on the Monday morning. And I have to say, Wednesday night, we went there Wednesday evenings and we went there Saturday mornings. Dave was there every time with the truck. 2 and 3 loads he'd go off with at a time. It wasn't just one load. We'd bring over the wheelies and he'd pull them up onto the truck and go off with them. And He done that. I think the only day he missed that we were there was the day his brother Michael was getting married. Was it my or
yeah, yeah. Saturday.
Yeah, that was the only day. While we were in the cemetery, Dave was there with the truck. Once he got, but now having the truck was the permission was given by the council, but David was there voluntary.
All right.
And opening the gates as well, because like obviously for obvious reasons, there's not many people would have keys or would have access to the keys of the gates of the cemetery.
Of course, yeah.
So, like, straight away, Dave said, look, lads, I'll be here, I'll open the gates for you. But I have to mention, one Thursday evening we were out there, and it could get mundane now out there. Do you know, we were trying to keep the crack amongst ourselves. Like, there was 10, 15 of us sometimes, and sometimes up to 30 or 40. And it was kind of, you were digging, you were hauling, you were doing weeding, stuff that I never did in my life anyway, but it was like going to the gym basically, Jerry, because you were working, you were basically doing manual work. I'm only used to doing that in my head. But anyway, one Thursday evening we were there, a beautiful summer's evening now, and Dave put on the music for us and in the truck. Lovely CD, I think it was Mario Lanza, was it? It was beautiful music anyway. Well, it was it was like something out of a film, because can you imagine how out in the cemetery, a summer's evening, just before the sun goes down, we're all working away like real happy workers, and beautiful music blasting from the truck of Mario Lanza.
Mario Lanza, yeah. But Joe Dolan came on. We won't deny it. We were inside in the cemetery, and believe you me, I think there was a lot of people who were long gone were delighted to hear Joe Dolan, because we were all singing Joe Dolan because Dave had it on in the van.
So you decided to. Did you feel that they worked better with a bit of music? Was it?
Well, I think when you play music, it makes you work better, and it gives you more confidence.
Music while you work.
Music while you work. I always play music in the lorry every day now. I have an MP3 player because the CD doesn't work in it. So my nephew got me an MP3 player on Amazon.
Okay.
And you type in 875 into the MP3 player and type it into the radio and put a stick in there and it plays the music. You know.
Because you got good value out of that truck, didn't you?
I did.
Is the truck still here in Yarl, eh?
It is a good truck. If it's looked after well, it is a good truck.
Davy's truck.
The Davy's truck.
I got, doesn't every man would go up to a yard and buy a truck, especially for a worker, is it?
There you are.
That's the dedication.
But they knew who they were buying it for. They knew it was going to be well used.
Well used and get good service.
But, and it has to be mentioned, like, because, you know, without even asking... Dave is there, do you know? And I do remember growing up myself, I suppose, in the Market Square, Dave was always out emptying the bins on the Sunday morning, the Saturday mornings early, you know, going beyond the call of duty. And, like, I know he mentions overtime and whatever, but at the end of the day, like, no matter what you ever asked him to do, Dave would do it. And I can understand Helen below in the town hall not wanting to come on because of getting emotional or whatever. But, like, as she said, it wasn't only a worker Dave was. They're all great friends down there. And no matter what issue, and it makes my job so much easier to have the likes of Dave and to have the likes of Helen and all the council workers as well, because you can just pick, like last week for instance with the snow, straight away Dave, Goggy, they were on the shovels clearing snow up by St. Raphael's beyond the call of duty, you know. And it's hard to find people like that nowadays, and it's going to get harder because, you know, pride in the community is one thing, and all these men always had pride in y'all and always had pride in the community and never refused anything from anyone. And like he's mentioned himself there about, you know, days that he called to people to make sure they're okay, I hope that lives on in our community, you know, because that's what y'all is about, and y'all has always been that way. People have never been found wanting when there's fundraisers, when somebody's in trouble, and people have always come out on top helping people out, and that's what all communities should be about. So like Dave has been a great ambassador for the council, but not just for the council but for y'all town itself, you know. And I just like, I suppose myself personally, to wish Dave all the best in his retirement. I'm sure he's not going to be retired as such, that we're going to see plenty of him, and you can still say on the graveyard the cemetery committee. We don't know what committee it is or who it is, but it's me and Meg dragging 30, 40 more good people out there. But you can stay on that committee anyway. We don't want to lose you there if you really want to. And I'm sure Dave will be in our communities and around our communities for a long time to come, and to enjoy your time with Meg and your family, your grandkids. You know, this is time now for them, and it's a bit of time, I suppose, for Dave himself.
One of my, since I moved to CRY, thanks, Mary, since I moved to CRY, one of my more memorable times and interviews was the time of the items you found and returned them to Malta.
I got a crest from Mick Foyle many years ago. A friend of his retired in England, and he bought furniture at a flea market in England, and when he came home, he found a crest in the drawer.
Okay.
So he put under the bench in the workshop for 20 years, and Mick Foyle happened to be down there after 20 years, and he said to Mick, "You're still collecting brass?" "I am." So he gave it to Mick Foyle. Mick Foyle had it for 25 years up on the shelf, and he gave it to me. Then after 25 years, he asked me, "Would you like a crest?" I said, "I'll find out where it came from." So I had it for 3 years, and people used to be saying, "Why don't you find out where it came from, Dave, and give it back?" So Uwe Carson, I gave it to Uwe, and Uwe looked it up online, and after 3 years, and he contacted Malta, and they said that they want to know what was Dave doing with the crest, because it was the original crest off the Fort of St. Angelo. So Uwe said he was donating it to the Fort of St. Angelo. So we got an invitation then from the Irish Navy to bring it aboard the ship on the 4th of July. A friend of Uwe's was an ex-captain of one of the ships, and he arranged it all. And we went aboard the ship on the 4th of July and handed it over to the Captain Manny, and he brought it to Malta and handed it over to the Irish ambassador. So Uwe met me outside McCarthy's one evening. I'm going home from work. He said, "There's not many people has one of these. I'll never again have one of them." It was an invitation from the Irish ambassador in Malta to an invitation aboard the GM Joyce on the 22nd of July, September. So me and Mick and Margaret and Mick's wife went out on the 18th, and we went aboard the GM Joyce on the 22nd, and we met Captain Manning. I met young Ansborough.
Mark.
Yeah. And I met a lot of the old boys, young Crowley boy as well, young Mulcahy. They were all on it.
Yeah.
And they had a beautiful reception on board the ship. And the Irish ambassador said to me, "I didn't think you were coming." I said, "I had so much to do." I said, it slipped my mind. But I'm here now. So we handed over the crest on board the ship. Of course, they filmed it. And the Irish ambassador made a kind of a statement in that. And so did the captain. And I thanked the people for coming and that, for everything they've done. And we enjoyed the evening. And then the following day, then we went over to Fort of St. Angelo. And we were trying to get in, and we couldn't get in. That's when we went to the door. It was so dark, you couldn't find the main exit. So your man rang Uwe, and Uwe told him they were outside the door. So he came down the buggy. He brought the four of us up. He were all squeezing to go up the hill through the tunnel ahead, you know.
Yeah.
And he brought us into the Fort of St. Angelo, and he showed us around the whole place, and they showed us a film of 1556 on the wall. You sit down inside. Oh. And he said it won't be open for a few weeks because we're sorting out things. And John the Baptist was beheaded there. And he showed us a film of it.
Before we let you go, on behalf of CRY here, I echo the sentiments of Margaret and Councillor Mary Lynn Foley. The best of luck in your retirement.
Thanks very much.
Any plans for holidays? Have a time to take a holiday?
I'm not going anywhere at the moment.
You're not?
I know, I'll wait in the summer.
Did you take a good wife away now for a nice break?
She's going away as far as I know.
That's your break, is it? You held it first in CRY. Mary, you're under pressure for time.
A small bit, yeah, just a few bits on today. Wednesday's always a busy day, Jerry, CBL and all that. But like I said, and like I just said a few minutes ago, I'd just like to wish Meg to enjoy Dave now, because she's the one now that will have.
Is there any truth in the rumour that she was walking the streets of you looking for a solicitor?
No. Meg loves Dave, but what I have to say is just wish Dave the best of luck and a happy retirement.
A long, happy, and healthy retirement.
Well,
I can honestly say I have a lovely wife.
Yeah.
Four lovely grandchildren, three lovely daughters, and what more do women
want? What more do you need? No. Exactly.
And loads of lovely memories from working.
And loads of lovely memories and loads of lovely friends in the council and otherwise. And everybody knows Dave Cooley, so I'd say Dave won't be bored anyway.
No.
And he's still in good health and all.
Yes,
and
we'll, to enjoy
he's
it.
Helped stay with him and to enjoy it.
Especially for you, David. Thanks a million for the memories.